thank you for joining us today. Amanda Messer's father always wanted a daughter. Sons were great, and he had four of them, but imagine his delight when Amanda was born. She was his treasure, his dream come true. Sadly, Amanda's parents soon split up, and she doesn't even remember a time when her dad lived in the same house. But he was a wonderful dad to her, and they were as close as a father and daughter could be. On the days he was scheduled to come to visit, she would put on her prettiest dress and wait by the front window to see him pull into her driveway. At first, he was always on time, and she so looked forward to spending time with him. Later, she waited, and she waited, and she waited. She'd ask her mom to call just one more time until her mother said, "Amanda, he's not coming. Go and change your clothes." Amanda didn't understand it at the time, but her father struggled with alcohol and drug addiction. What she did understand was that her daddy didn't keep his promises to her. As an adult, Amanda was deeply moved by a coworker's Facebook post where he talked about his father who had just passed away. Her coworker said that his dad was just an average guy, but his word was golden. He always kept his promises. This ordinary father inspired his son to encourage others to keep their promises. He created and started mailing out free promise cards. These are cards that people could fill out or give to others or just use for themselves as a reminder of what they promised to do. Amanda became a co-founder of this project in 2012, and over the past 8 years, it has become an international nonprofit social movement called Because I Said I Would. This organization has sent out 12.8 million promise cards free of charge to more than 153 countries and provided free online resources that you can even download, offered character development programs to more than 150,000 students. Amanda Messer's story highlights the importance of keeping promises. We live in a world where promises are constantly being broken. Parents break promises. Marriages fail over broken promises. Businesses suffer due to broken promises. And let's not even get into how many promises are broken by elected officials. This has made it difficult for many to learn to trust. And that lack of trust is often carried over to people's relationship with God. Many wonder, some ask, does God keep his promises? Through the history of Israel, God's people had been taught about the resurrection. Even Mary and Martha believed they would see their dead brother Lazarus again at some future time at the resurrection. They didn't realize that Jesus was the resurrection, the way, the truth. Believers in Thessalonica were asking about God's promises too, in particular about the resurrection. Believing Jesus was going to return in their lifetime, there was concern about those who had died in the faith. Would only those who were alive be changed? What exactly is God's promise, and how do we know that he will keep it? Paul answers these questions by reminding us how God keeps his promises through Jesus. Let's read this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. What do we see in this passage? Let's look at verse 13 again. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. The first thing Paul points out is that we need hope when faced with grief, loss, and suffering, all of which are part of our human experience. Those who know Jesus can process grief and loss better because we hope in him. Then Jesus connects our resurrection and the resurrection of those loved ones who've already passed with Jesus' resurrection. And that's a key component in our faith. As it says in Acts 17, verse 28, in him, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being. We are united with Jesus in his life, death, and in his resurrection. Let's read on. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. Paul follows this up by sharing details of this resurrection that clearly indicate it won't be done in secret. It will be a big event with lots of reunions and rejoicing. Further, he emphasizes the promise that we will be with Christ for all eternity. Look at verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Did you get that? There's going to be the most incredible reunion ever as we gather together, believers from every generation, young and old, to meet Christ in the air. Finally, Paul reminds us to share this promise with others, to give the encouragement of the hope they have in the resurrection when he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So, how can we apply this passage to our lives today? First, this passage reminds us that Jesus' resurrection is proof that God keeps his promises. Through Jesus' resurrection, we've been given new life. We're citizens of a different kingdom. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, and because we are included in Jesus, we can trust that God will raise us too. This fuels our hope for the future and boosts our trust in God. Second, this passage shows us that people need to be reminded of the hope of the resurrection. Oh yes, as we finish 2020 and begin 2021, let's remind people of the hope of the resurrection. There is so much pain in the world. Sometimes we forget what our brothers and sisters around this world are going through. There's so many examples of suffering that an hour or even a whole day wouldn't even begin to give me enough time to list them all. A few years ago, my parents met this family, the Soto family, as they were traveling by train in Cuba. They were invited to visit the Sotos' home and formed a friendship with the help of a translator. My parents have kept in touch over the years, sending support and packages to the family because life in Cuba is very difficult. This year, in 2020, things have gotten even worse in Cuba. People are lining up for 8 to 10 hours to shop at state-run supermarkets with mostly empty shelves and insane prices. For example, in September, a ham sold for $230 US, and a 7-pound block of cheese cost $149 US. Their wages are very low. You can imagine their distress. Can you imagine going to your local grocery store, finding virtually empty shelves, and having to pay, say, $100 for a bag of chips just to have something to eat? This is what Cubans and many, many other people around the world are facing. We've got the famine continuing in Africa, and food shortages are affecting many, many parts of this world. This is just the beginning of sorrows. There is a desperate need for hope. There is a need to know that this life is temporary. We grieve with others, yes, but we don't grieve as those without hope, because we know our hope is in Jesus, and we're called to remind others of that hope. Lastly, this passage in 1 Thessalonians reminds us that Jesus is the promise, and he shows us the importance of keeping a promise. Not only do we continually look to Jesus and help others turn to Jesus, we also know the importance of our word. Because we understand how hope and promises are deeply intertwined, we will remember how important it is for us to keep promises we've made to others, to give them hope and pass along the grace that God has shown us. Amanda Messer's story shows how one man's broken promises deeply affected his little girl. We also saw how her coworker's father's life of promises kept left a legacy of hope. God has given us hope by providing proof of our resurrection through our elder brother Jesus. Yes, we have a great and precious hope, and his name is Jesus. His promises are sure, his resurrection is sure, and ours is too. Let's get ready for that great reunion in the sky and encourage each other with this promise. I'm going to close in prayer. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name and thank you for the reminder that you're not like us. You keep all of your promises perfectly and in the exactly right timing. We won't be like Amanda and so many others, all dressed and ready to go and waiting only to be disappointed by a daddy who doesn't show up, because you always show up for us. We let others down, but you will never let us down. We can trust you completely, and that's why we live in hope. Jesus, as your followers, we are included in your life, your death and resurrection. And we know that this physical existence is not all there is. This life is not the end. There's so much more in store. Help us share this great hope, the power of your promise, while we live in eager anticipation and expectation of the upcoming reunion of all reunions, meeting you, our Lord Jesus, in the air, in the company of all the resurrected believers. We hope in you, Jesus. We trust in you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, and we pray in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.